Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 11. Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 11. Josh. That to Colleen. I want to have you read, but follow me, Colleen, as I'll tell you where to go. I'm going to recap and I'm going to finish up on this particular message. Pursue your destiny and do not be distracted. Nehemiah 1, verse 1 through 4. Go ahead. Turn it on. Is it on?
In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah.
From Judah.
I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven.
Go to Nehemiah 2, verse 1 through 5.
Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine and had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified. But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" "With a prayer to the God of heaven." I replied, "If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried."
Go to verse 10.
But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. I keep reading.
No, you're good right there. Thank you. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, forever. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to guide us through your word and let it be a lamp unto our feet and let it guide us to our destiny. But Father, we thank you that your word is put into action, not just by hearing, but by doing your word. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, hallelujah. Amen. I want to share with you a couple of things here. When God gives you a promise, he gives you provisions, but then get ready for the persecution. Get ready for the persecution. The persecution that comes your way is going to come by a form of a spirit. Now, we began to go over this, and I shared with you the first time on this, on the month of Kislev, what it meant and what Kislev represented. In that month was the month where it's a month of darkness, a month of dreams, and a month of hope. God speaks it in a certain time. And then within that certain season, he accomplishes what he set it out to do. But in that process, after God has spoken to you a promise and has given you provision, you're about to experience persecution. When the persecution comes, it is for us to understand where this persecution has been launched from. Now, the report came from Judah. And I shared with you that Judah represented praise and was positioned in the wilderness before the tabernacle. Judah is praise, which is the east tribe in front of the tabernacle entrance. In other words, your praise gives you access to his presence. Okay? Now, he is stationed, Judah, the tribe of Judah, in the east gate, represents a new day, a new season, a new beginning. Now, the report came from Judah that the place was in ruins and the gates were burned with fire. To understand the positioning of the church and how the layout is to understand where we are as a body of Christ in our position where God has us. Next to Judah is Zebulun. Zebulun, the name means God hath endowed me with good dowry.
which means he has given me provision. Amen. Now, to the left, to the right of Judah is Issachar. Issachar means to a reward of understanding the times, which represents the prophetic of God. In your praise, you should be supplied with the prophetic word and instructions what God has in store for you. Are you hearing me? Your praise has always been hindered because when your praises go up, instructions come down. Are you hearing me? Instructions come down for you to understand the season that you're in. So when he received this report, it was in direct opposition to what God had instituted. Now, it came from Judah. And now, as they begin to move forward into the promise that God has given them to rebuild, to restore, you hear that Sanballat and Tobias were the ones that came out and they were upset because they started moving towards the actual blessing on what God told them to do. Sanballat is the secret hater. I began to share that with you last that week as well, that he is a secret hater. But he is the secret hater of God. Sometimes you can be around people that are churchy, religious, or Christian. And what happens is they act like they're so religious and they love God. But the reality is they deny who he really is. They're the secret haters. You've been around some folks in time. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your children. But you've been around some folks that you know that there's something off. There's something not right. There's something in the spirit that doesn't settle right with you. But they're secretly getting you close. And what is the whole saying is you keep your enemies close. Keep them close to you. So a secret hater of God comes in to make sure that they get real close to the people of God so they can keep you real close and watch your every move. Sanballat, this spirit attacks the mind. It carries with him mockery, insult, and the ultimate goal is discouragement. So I talked about Sanballat, told you what he was trying to do is to stop you, discourage you, and to get you off your course for your destiny. Then last week, I began to share with you about Tobiah. Tobiah, go with me to Nehemiah 13 real quick so you have a better understanding of this. Nehemiah 13, verses 4 through 9, Colleen. Nehemiah 13, verses 4 through 9. Give me out of NIV, please. Bless you.
Okay. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms for the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians, and gatekeepers, as well as contributions for the priest. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I had asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned that about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense.
All right. Now, I want you to see here that Eliashib is actually a priest, an ordained priest of God by the Levitical priesthood and what God has instituted for the priests to come from that tribe. Now, I want you to see this. Tobiah is not even a Levitical priest, is not even associated with the people of God. When you make alliances with people that God hadn't instituted you to be with, there's going to be an influence that you're going to follow, and it's going to cause trouble in your life. Look at what he does. He allows him, Tobiah, to take residence in the storehouse. Did you see that? And in that storehouse, what is in there? Your grain offerings, Your incense is your worship and praise. Your temple articles, the articles that are used for that. Your tithes of grain. Watch this. New wine, new revelation. Oil prescribed for the Levites. What does that oil represent? Your anointing. Your anointing. When you get connected to someone that God didn't call you to be connected with, oh, hear this. Then you're going to find yourself that someone has made residence in your spot that is keeping your money funny and keeping your anointing low. Tobiah. I need you to understand that this spirit has come in and it means God is good, or the goodness of Jehovah. He became a servant of Sanballat. Tobiah is a spirit just like that of Jezebel. Jezebel comes to turn the people away from God. Now, we all think we know the spirit of Jezebel, but the reality that Jezebel comes in not just to usurp authority. Jezebel is not a female spirit. Jezebel can be anybody, any position. Jezebel manipulates, controls, and begins to get what that spirit wants when it wants it. Are you hearing me? Now, because Tobiah means God is good, you would think that this particular spirit is giving homage to God, worship unto the Lord. But because of the alliance that Tobiah made with Sanballat, it turned him from God. Read Nehemiah 2, verse 19. Nehemiah 2, verse 19.
But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king?
I want you to see this. Now there's a third individual that is now associated with the other two. Now, I told you that in the positioning of the tabernacle had three tribes. It had Judah. What was the other? Zebulun and Issachar. So for every tribe who has a responsibility, there is a spirit associated to try to stop each tribe. Now, before we get any deeper into all these spirits, I'm going to bring this for your understanding and how these spirits work to stop you. Tobiah brings rebellion. It's a religious demon spirit speaking of the goodness of God, but has nothing to show for it. Are you hearing this? You can praise God, go through all the motions, act like a Christian, and read your word and do everything. But if your heart's not truly turned over to the Lord, you're not going to get your blessings. You're just going through the motions. Like I said, this isn't for this church. Some of y'all are getting a little upset with Pastor. Stop it. I'm just sharing the word with you. And if the truth hits you between the eyes, don't duck. Just say amen. Amen. And if it hurts, you can say ouch. But this spirit has a tendency to bring about rebellion in your tithes. Oh, Lord. Keeps you from wanting to bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Let's not even go into the first fruits offering. Lord forbid, if I begin to teach on that, some of y'all start thinking, I'm only in it for the money. Your first fruit offering is your first paycheck of the year. I said paycheck. Not 10%. First fruits mean I'm going to give you all of my first fruits. What that does sets the precedence for the rest of the year. Now, if we start talking about money in here, y'all going to start looking at me like, oh, that's all Pastor wants is money. I don't want it. You don't want to give it, keep it. Giving your tithes in your offering isn't for the house. It's for your house. So what Tobiah did was he hid himself and made residence in the place where your money went. He said, oh, God is good, but you got nothing to show for it. Oh, you've been praying some things off of your children and praying some things off of your family, and you ain't seen no effects yet. Because he's in there also with the anointing oil. Okay, I'm just recapping now. Just recapping. So we understand that Tobiah connected with Sanballat, but here comes the third. Are you ready for the third? Are you really ready? Be on the lookout for the terrible three. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Geshem. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 14 through 18 out of God's Word Translation. God's Word Translation. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18 out of God's Word Translation. When you have it, begin reading.
Stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers.
Oh, Lord. Say it again, one more again.
Stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers.
Do y'all know who wrote the book of Corinthians?
Paul.
Who?
Paul.
Paul. Paul. Y'all know who Paul is, right? Who is Paul? Paul was the one that was persecuting who?
Christians.
Christians. So now I want you to see this here for a minute. I want you to see this. Look at how he starts off the sentence. Now read it.
Stop forming.
Okay, now you're reading it too nice now.
Okay. Read it me.
Now you're reading it too nice. Now I want you to get into character a bit here.
Okay.
I know you're a woman. I know you're a woman, but I want you to get into character like you're telling your honey over there sitting right next to you and say, stop.
I got this.
Come on.
Scene. Stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers.
Woo! There's some authority in this sentence right here. It says, stop forming inappropriate relationships. Amen. We'll see you next week. Go on.
Can right and wrong be partners? Can light have anything in common with darkness?
Well, let's read that one with some attitude.
Okay. All right. Can right and wrong be partners? I'll get like my mom. Okay.
Josh, take over.
I got this.
All right.
I got this.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay, I'm going to stand
and
do it.
Come on now. Stand up now.
Okay, guys. Listen. Can right and wrong be partners?
No!
Can light have anything in common with darkness?
No!
Can Christ agree with the devil?
No!
Can a believer share life with an unbeliever?
No!
Can God's temple contain false gods?
No!
Clearly, we are the temple of the living God, as God said.
Stop. Before we even go to what God said, before you even get your blessing, before you even about to hear what God has instituted for you, I want you to understand that every no is very, very bold, caps, and a period at the end. Now, for you religious folks in here and say that, how are we going to minister to those that are lost if we don't know? You got to understand, first of all, is how you are associating with them. It says in verse 14, verse 1, where it says, stop forming inappropriate relationships. How are you going to be an influence of light when you're always around darkness? You're going to be influenced to the darkness because you're being led into the darkness. No, see, some of y'all already start getting real religious on me. I feel you. Stop it. We don't like truth being preached. And you think this is hurting you? It's hurting me too. Shoot. I ain't Jesus up here. I got more sins than probably this whole church. I'm not perfect. And if you're looking for a perfect church, good luck.
That's right.
Pastor, but they got a praise team and they used to see all the stuff that they got. But do they have his presence? Do they have power? Are you leaving transformed and renewed? Are you being changed? Are you being delivered from your evil spirits? Amen. I'm not here to make it look nice for you. Although I'd really like to have so many things. I share with my leaders every time we're setting up. Look, I'd like to have a screen over here, projector over here. I'd like to have this. I'd like to have a bigger stage so I can have my praise team. He says, Lord, would you just focus on my presence and my word? I'll take care of the rest. I got my issues. I want good things for y'all. See, I'm from Texas, y'all. But what it is that we have to understand that this word is saying, don't come into relation. If you begin to really read the other word, it says it, don't be yoked. Now, I started this with just sharing with you about this thing 3 weeks ago, did I not? For some of y'all walking in here, some of y'all sitting here thinking, oh, Pastor, you're talking about me because of last night. You're talking about me because of all this stuff. I've been talking about this for 3 weeks. God's been talking to you, and you ain't got it yet. I think I need to be hiding behind this curtain here or something because I got some daggers coming my way. Look here. What was this all about? There was a report that came from Judah, the tribe that sits at the very entrance of the tabernacle. That means it sits before the house of God. If your praise is taken out, if your worship is tainted, and if your money becomes funny, you're not going to walk in here being in the right frame of mind or in the right spirit to give God all that you got. Because there's been an influence trying to take you out. When it says, yo, oh God, let me just get it. Come here, Daniel. 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 I want you to put your arm around me like this. We're yoked. Oh. Okay. Now. Okay. The Hulk. Okay. Lionel, come over here, Lionel. Come on his other side. Come on the other side. I want you to put your arm around him. Watch this. Watch this. You put your arm around him. You're the yoke. You're the yoke. Okay. Now, Lionel, we're supposed to be going towards the other half of the Golden Sisters back there. Okay? Golden Girls. We're supposed to be going that way. But because the spirit that has first come in to lead praise away, let's start walking. Lionel, we're going over there to buy in them. Right? But praise, because the spirit came in to try to take me off course, where are we going? Where's Lionel going? He's following the influence that has been influencing me away from destiny. The yoke... Come here, Josh. Stay right here. It's like I can illustrate this better.
Okay.
Heavy arms, man. Heavy arms. I'm already sweating under this jacket, man. Hold them. Hold them. They're big boys. They can handle it. Okay, Lionel, your job is to get right here. Your job is to... Come on, man. Come on. Your job is to come right here. And all you're to do is to get to that place that God has told you to do. And God has told you that you need to get to that place too. That's the promise, provision, and everything you need for your destiny. Yes? There's where you're going to go. Start walking. But then comes now somebody that attaches to you and says, no, 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 that's not the way to go. That's not the way to go. I'm all with you, brother. I know, Josh, you're supposed to go to that place. But God has another way for you to get there instead of the way you're going. You're yoked with a spirit that is unbelieving. what could have caused you to get there quicker is now taking you off course and taking you away from your destiny. You're sweating, aren't you? He said, yeah, Pastor, that's that spirit. Did destiny move? Did destiny cause them to lose? I don't feel the Holy Ghost. I didn't say the yoke to break. I didn't say the yoke to break. That's not where you were at. Stop. Destiny hasn't moved its position. Destiny and promise and provision and everything that God has called for you to do has not moved, has not shifted, but has been waiting all along. But the influence, can I have an influence, John, to be the influence, be the influence that I was, be the influence? Now watch this. Now that influence was Sanballat. Come here. Here comes Tobiah. Tobiah is going to lead in the same direction as them. Watch this. Now, lead them, Jonathan. Watch this. What is Tobiah going to do? Tobiah is going to keep pushing. Keep pushing in that same direction. Now, watch this. Now, Lionel and Josh, don't fight it no more. Go with. Go with. Go with. Go with. Go with. Now, watch. Watch. Watch this. Here's what I want you to see. Stop right there. Stop right there. Here's what I want you to see. When you finally gave up fighting against the yoke, it felt easier, but it wasn't in the direction you needed to go. It just felt easier, so you quit fighting against it, even though you know it's wrong. And it leads you away. That's what two influences. Here's where the third lies all along. The yoke. The one that's right in the middle, that doesn't matter where the other two influences are. It's because you came into association, the yoke itself is the one that's going to cause all bitterness, havoc, division, and unforgiveness. Did destiny move? Did truth move? No. For some of y'all looking at me, like, well, God will move destiny. God never moves destiny. God moves, leaves destiny, and God comes right over here. And God speaks to the mind and to the heart and saying, you're being led astray. You're being led away, not because of the influence here anymore, but what you have connected to in your heart and mind here in the yoke. Because the influence now has already got past you and now is infiltrated into the yoke. Now the influence that was working together with the first spirit, Sanballat, Tobiah, has already now infiltrated the yoke. So the third person in this trinity that is opposing God's trinity is the yoke, where you should have never been associated with, because now it takes you off track. So God comes in and speaks to the heart and says, you have connected with an off spirit. How do you think they get back to destiny? Repent. 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 They acknowledge, they repent. Watch this. What does God say in his word? My yoke is easy. And my burdens are light. But he's not putting a burden on you. That burden speaks of my purpose and call is light and perfect will with his word. Where did the influence stay? Where did the influence stay? Far away from destiny. Watch this, watch this. And then I'll have you sit down. Just real quick, hold on. Geshem means rains. Like rain from above, R-A-I-N, rain. Now, how is it that the third is the one that deals with rain. Come over here, guys, real quick. Come over here. I tell you what, come run up on the stairs. Step up here. Y'all going to model today? Come on, do the catwalk. Do the catwalk. Come on. Now, the influence has already infiltrated into the yoke. Now, because first of all, Sanballat was the one that opposed, got the secret hater of God. Tobiah didn't know it. Tobiah was influenced because Tobiah got yoked with Sanballat. Geshem is a byproduct of the two being yoked. You're going to miss this. What you are trying to birth in the spirit has already been tainted by the two influences that you have given your heart to. His name is Rain. But more specifically, latter rain. Which comes in this season of the year. The latter rain represents, I am going to nourish the seed so that your spring harvest comes. What you have attached yourself to has become the seeds that is now about to flourish, because now it's about to be watered by the spirit that you've given your heart to. And because you haven't disconnected from it, your harvest that is coming in the spring season is not the season that you want to be in or the harvest you want to reap. Because you connected with two influences that you have finally got tired of fighting against. Oh, my, 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 my. And it keeps you away. Destiny and perpetual blessings. Are you hearing this? Okay, yo, guys, thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Here's what I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to close. Josh, actually, you could probably come up here now. Watch this. This is what God says. Now, finish, because you dropped off. You finished 2 Corinthians 6:14. You stopped at 16. Now, I want you to finish reading that from 16 through 18 on 2 Corinthians. Here's the promise again.
As God said, I will live and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
That's a yoke. That's his yoke. I will walk with them. I will be with them, and they will be my people. He just yoked himself again through his promise. Watch this. Go ahead.
The Lord says, get away from unbelievers. Separate yourselves from them. Have nothing to do with anything unclean. Then I will welcome you. The Lord Almighty says, I will be your father. And you will be my sons and daughters.
What are you saying at this point right now through his word, through the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul messed up so many times. So many times. Turn my mic down. And this is what happened. When he had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, his eyes were open. And he began to see who he was persecuting. And he was changed. Not only was he changed, his identity, his name was changed, and his purpose and his destiny was changed. What God does in your walk towards destiny, he begins to bring promotion your way, but not in the way that you think it's going to happen. You may go through persecution. You may be blinded. You may be ridiculed. You may be talked about. You may even put to the point you got to trust in others that you don't trust yourself. So that he can get you to where you need to be. When Paul is writing this, now he has an understanding, is that I've got to be yoked with the people that believe God and not with those that can influence me away from God. Sanballat was the one that influenced the other two and got people away from God. We find here in the scripture that Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. He fortified the city. But in a short period of time, he goes back and he finds all kinds of chaos and disorder in the house. What is God saying? You can go through a building process. You begin to put things back in order. But if you're not careful with who you're yoking up with, then somewhere later down the line, my promises can be tainted. I can take from you not even knowing that I'm leading you off course. Are you hearing this? And you think it's because, oh, I've got to be the one that influences them back into light. Who got you into the light? It wasn't a person. It was God. It was the presence of His Spirit that came in to lead you back to the light. Why? Because when you were created in His image. You were made perfect and wonderful in His sight. But somewhere along the line, something came to you, whether it be an offense, would that be unforgiveness? Would it be to the point you're tired of fighting? You got taken off course. And no longer do you want to fight. No longer do you want to stand for truth. And now when it comes in, it takes you away from your destiny. And the church has gotten so far away from getting people healed, delivered, and set free. My God, hear this. The latter rain. Why is it important to understand the latter rain? This spirit is determined to destroy the harvest by holding back the blessings. Number one, an offense that causes unforgiveness. An offense that causes unforgiveness. Number two, this spirit causes unholy alliances to stop the progression. Number two, this spirit causes unholy alliances to stop the progression. Number three, works hand in hand with Tobias and Sanballat to destroy your offering and your sacrifice unto the Lord. In Matthew 5:23 and 24 says this, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Hear this. Hear this. What this is saying in the scripture is that if there is an ought between you and your brother, your sister, someone in the church, someone in your life, you got to go make it right before you can bring your offering to the house of God. These letters are written in red. Who said it? Jesus said it. Why is he saying that? Because unforgiveness keeps you tied and yoked to that spirit that keeps you away from destiny. Make it right. Make it right. Don't be like Sanballat and say, oh, I love you, God, and secretly hate God. Don't be like Tobias and say, oh, God is good, and all I have to show for it is unforgiveness. All I have to show for it is bitterness and malice. Make it right. This spirit wants to keep you. It causes malice, bitterness, division, pride, and unrepentant heart. Keeping the latter rains from coming in your life. Joel 2:23-25 reads this way. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 23-25. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. And he has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Then will I make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, and the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. My great army which I sent among you. I want you to hear this. whatever the enemy has come to strip from you, to eat from you, to take from you, is about to be restored back to you as long as you come with a repentant heart and you give your heart unto God. When you do that, things can be broken off of you. We can break off this spirit of rebellion. We can break off the spirit of offense. We can break off the spirit of pride. And we can loose ourselves from the bonds of wickedness. And we cannot be cursed what God has blessed. But if we don't change our ways and disconnect ourselves, my God, and get back in alignment as the body of Christ, you will not see progression. You will not see revival. You will not see breakthrough, because we got to get back to that place where we're on our face and asking God to forgive us for what we have done. Are you hearing this? These three spirits come to directly oppose the promise, provision, and the perpetual blessing of God. Because as long as the rains are flowing, your harvest is growing. And as your harvest grows, if that spirit can keep the rain from coming, doesn't matter what you bring in the storehouse, he's going to work within the offense in your life. He's going to work with all the bitterness in your life, unforgiveness. And if you think that you can do something and not be caught, oh, I'm covered with the blood. Yeah, you're covered from the penalty of sin, which is death. But continue doing what you're doing and watch what comes your way. What you sow is what you reap. If you want to sow discord, you want to sow unforgiveness, that's what's coming to you. Bitterness and malice, that's what's coming to you. That's your harvest. Because he will rain down. Geshem will rain down on that seed. Because that's what he wants. Now, we're not a perfect people. We're being made perfect. But how are we made perfect in him? By accepting him. Do you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you have, then the fruits must be seen. Yeah, we have issues that sometimes we got to deal with that we don't understand why they keep showing up. Sometimes we just need revelation or illumination of what it is so that we can better have a different outlook and a different behavior from the learned behaviors that we've had. Not everything is a spirit. Some of the things we develop because of a spirit that has been having us do, respond, and act a certain way becomes a learned behavior. And a learned behavior is not prayed off. A learned behavior is changed with a new behavior. Amen. You can bind everything you want to bind. You can make up demon names all you want. But it's a learned behavior that needs to change into a new behavior. You understand? Guess what keeps you from being a true repentant son or daughter of God? Pride. Not accepting and owning what you've done. Pushing it off on others. There is a story in the Bible. Some of you know it very well because there's scholars in this room, and some of you that know the Bible better than your pastor. When Jacob's wells were clogged, they were stopped. That kept the crops and that kept the substance that is needed to be maintained. Some things in your life have clogged your wells. It's time to repent of those things and get back in right standing. It's time to get back to where God wants us to be. God wants us blessed and perpetually blessed. But why does he want you blessed? So that you can be a blessing to others. Amen. Stand to your feet as we close. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. Where you stand right now, you can say, God, I know there's some issues in my life that I need to go make right. I want you right now to lift your hand up before the Lord. Doesn't matter if it's your significant other, your children, or even me, your pastor. You're just lifting it up saying, God, that's me. I do need to make some things right. Now, all you've got to do right now, if you can't go before the person and ask to be forgiven, then I want you right now is to ask God to remove this offense so that no longer are you going to be held back from your latter rains, from your blessing and your perpetual blessings. But you're going to stand today and say, God, that is me. I want to be forgiven. I want a repentant heart. I want to turn away from these things. If that is you right now, I just want you to just lift your hands up and say, God, help me with this. Help me with this. I release my brother. I release my sister with any offense. Now, an offense isn't an attitude. An offense is something that has transpired. An attitude keeps you from accepting forgiveness. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, those that are standing with their hands lifted, God, work in their heart. Help them to overcome this issue of offense. Let it be made right against their brothers and sisters so that they can truly bring their offering of worship unto you before the altar, God, and present the gift unto you. Let nothing hinder them. Let them not walk through with the spirit of Sanballat that looks like they're good and looks like they're friendly, but secretly they're a hater. Let them be, Father God, true repentant hearts to turn from their wicked ways. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless them that you give peace that have already been provided for them. Let them walk in that peace and let it be turned around in Jesus' mighty name. You can put your hands down. Now, this one is for those that says, Pastor, I didn't know what was working in my life. I didn't know that I connected. I was blinded by being yoked to an unbeliever, yoked to a spirit. Now, if that's you, I want you to come to the front so I can pray and break this thing off for you. Hallelujah.